From Seoul, Korea, KBS World Radio News Today starts right now.
On today's broadcast, the number of births in South Korea jumps nearly 16% in June, marking the highest annual growth rate to date. The Jeju Police launch a task force to review all 298 missing persons cases handled by a jail police officer with allegedly falsified records. And we hear from a former acting U.S. ambassador to South Korea about President Donald Trump's renewed drive to hold talks with Kim Jong-un. This is KBS World Radio News. I'm Daniel Cha. The latest data shows that the number of babies born in South Korea reached a 7-year high for the month of June and increased nearly 16% year-on-year. The government attributes the rebound to a rise in marriages and a higher population of women in their 30s. Our Bae Ju-yeon has more.
In 2023, the average number of children born to a woman over her lifetime in South Korea fell to its lowest, 0.72, far below the 2.1 needed to maintain a stable population. The total fertility rate has now bounced back to 0.88 in the latest tally from June, with the number of births rising nearly 16%, marking the highest on-year growth to date. According to the government on Wednesday, 23,111 babies were born in June, up by a record 15.6% from a year earlier. The number of babies born in the second quarter also surged, posting a 7-year high of 70,791 and a record 15.8% increase. The number of marriages, a leading indicator of births, stood at 21,075 in June, showing a record increase of 14%. An official at the Ministry of Data and Statistics attributed the higher number of births to an increase in the number of women in their 30s and a surge in the number of marriages, which has been on the uptrend since the COVID-19 pandemic ended in May 2023. The official said the nation's total fertility rate could recover to the 0.9 range if the pattern seen in 2024 and 25 continues this year. The number of deaths in June rose 2% to 27,794, resulting in a natural population decline of 4,683. Bae Ju-yeon, KBS World Radio News.
The Jeju Police have launched a task force to review all 298 missing persons cases handled by the police officer who allegedly thwarted the search for the late Chang Mi-ran by falsifying records to indicate she was safe. The Jeju Provincial Police Agency said Wednesday that a task force will review all missing persons cases handled by the jailed officer, surnamed Bu, at the Jeju Western Police Station from March last year through the end of July this year. The task force, headed by the chief of the agency's Criminal Affairs Division, includes some 20 detectives and investigators who will check Bu's case records to see if they reflect how the cases were actually handled. The Jeju police are also conducting a separate comprehensive review of all missing persons cases. The ruling Democratic Party has dismissed any connection between its prosecution reform drive and the scandal around the missing woman who was found dead on Jeju Island earlier this week. Party Chair Kim Min-seok said during a meeting of the party's Supreme Council on Wednesday that the Jeju case has nothing to do with recent legislation stripping the prosecution of its right to conduct supplementary investigations. He argued that the incident occurred when the prosecution still had that right. The main opposition People Power Party disagreed, with Party Chair Chang Dong-hyuk saying during his first anniversary press conference that the people have suffered due to the changes to the prosecution's powers. Chang called for the prosecution to be given back the right to conduct supplementary investigations, saying public safety is at risk.
You are now listening to the news from KBS World Radio's News Center in Seoul, Korea.
U.S. President Donald Trump has again posted a message on social media saying he plans to substantially reduce joint military exercises with South Korea because they send a hostile signal to North Korea. The message posted Tuesday on the Truth Social platform read, "Based on my very good relationship with Kim Jong-un of North Korea, I was not happy with the fact that the United States had long ago agreed to participate in joint military exercises with South Korea. It was essentially the same statement that Trump issued last week and again included a jab at South Korea for staying out of the war in Iran. The post comes as Trump is seeking a meeting with the North Korean leader later this year, and a day after he posted old photos of himself with Kim during their first summit in Singapore in June 2018, and at their third and last meeting at the inter-Korean border village of Panmunjom in June 2019. KBS World Radio News' Korea 24 spoke with two foreign policy experts about U.S. President Donald Trump's renewed push for dialogue with North Korea. They said Trump could try to negotiate a cap on the number of warheads in North Korea's arsenal if the meeting does take place. The two experts also cautioned that North Korea might try to drive a wedge between the two allies in the process. Kim Bum-soo has wrapped up the discussions with former acting U.S. Ambassador to South Korea Robert Rob Rapson and foreign policy expert Dr. Kim Byung-ju.
Having been there at the center of this, the 2018...
Former acting U.S. Ambassador to South Korea Robert Rapson says Trump is seeking to change the political narrative ahead of the November midterm elections.
I see this as really this effort to re-engage with Kim Jong-un as a part of a legacy, Trump's legacy. It's unfinished business from that time period that is now being further stimulated by the fact that he's failing in Iran or hasn't achieved the kind of success he hoped for.
During an interview with KBS World Radio, Rapson also argued that Trump will try to negotiate a nuclear freeze or a cap on the number of warheads in North Korea's arsenal if the talks do take place.
You could see something like that progressing, a freeze, a cap. If denuclearization, the big assumption is denuclearization itself will not fly with Pyongyang and Kim Jong-un as an agenda item. If we insist on it, then we're back to square one and no talks or no engagement. So
insisting on CBID was a non-starter the whole time.
Retired professor of international relations Dr. Kim Byung-ju said Kim could eventually show up to a meeting in a bid to raise his country's status to that of a nuclear state.
This may be a high time to gain the something that they've been longing for such a long time, that is the nuclear state status being recognized by the President of the United States.
The two experts agreed that the North Korean leader might also try to drive a wedge between Seoul and Washington and advise the allies to coordinate closely moving forward.
What comes after Trump or what comes after the midterms or what comes after...
They also cautioned the South Korean government to keep the longer term in mind, saying if the Democrats take control of the House and the Senate, corrections will have to be made in foreign policy. Kim Bum-soo, KBS World Radio News.
For the first time in over two decades, a majority of South Koreans have a negative view of the United States, according to a survey conducted by the Washington-based Pew Research Center. The findings released Monday showed that 55% of South Korean adults have an unfavorable view of the U.S., up from 39% in 2025. 18% have a very unfavorable view, up 9 percentage points from last year, while less than half, at 45%, have a favorable view of the U.S., marking a 16-point drop. However, 57% of South Koreans said they consider the U.S. a reliable partner. That's down from 83% during the Joe Biden administration in 2022. And that's the news from KBS World Radio's News Center in Seoul. This has been Daniel Chen.